All right, we'll start at the top of Yud Gimel Aleph. Gemara says, or the Mishnah actually has been discussing how to divide up properties and what is the minimum standard by which we can compel the other party to divide up the properties. So now the Gemara says, Ein behem kedei lezeh, kedei lezeh mahu. What happens in a situation when there isn't sufficient amount or area or size in order to divide between the two parties, and they do want to divide, they want to dissolve the partnership, but now you can't dissolve the partnership or compel the other party to do it because there's not enough right remainder to allow each party to take their piece. So what do you do? So if you don't mar it dina de god or a god, right, or a good, that the din is what we call in modern day, right, to find it, it's a put call option, which is that you can demand, you can offer to buy out the partner, or at that price he can buy you out. Okay, one person makes the bid or the sets the price, and then the other party has the right to either buy at that price or sell at that price. So that's the way Rav Yehuda describes it. Nachan Mar, they dina de godo a good. So according to Rav Nachman, you can't impose or you can't use such a vehicle for dissolution of the partnership. So So now according to you, who has this no din of the good or good, b'chor or pashut. Right, you have a b'chor and a pashut, meaning that you have one party who's going to get two portions. One is going to get one portion. Sheniach lehem avien evet ubehemat mea. That leaves their father left them objects that cannot be right divided. So now, what do you do? How do you divide between these two parties? Ketzad, Osin, what do you do? So Amalei says no problem.
You can't be divided, you can sell them.
Right, you could sell them for their monetary value and then divide up the money. But over here they want to know what happens if one party is objecting, right, to the dissolution of this partnership. He wants to keep the Eved. He doesn't want to sell the Eved. So in that instance, how do we divide up an Eved, which is a whole item, and how do we divide up a Behema Atmeya? So Amar Lei, Shani Omer, Obi Lezeh Yom Echad, Ozeh Shnei Yomim. Says no problem, because you'll work for, meaning that if you look at a whole of anything when it comes to a b'chor and a pashut, they really have to divide up the property into three sections, and then the b'chor takes two portions of that, and the pashut takes one portion. So the same thing will be true of an eved, right? An eved, he'll come and work for the b'chor for 2 days out of three, and he'll work for the other, the pashut, for 1 day out of three. And Mar is obviously going to ask the question, we've seen this numerous times. Someone who is half an Eved and half a Ben Chorin, meaning that he was owned by two partners. One of the partners freed this Eved Kanani. So now that tzad of the Eved Kanani is a full-fledged Jew. And then you have the other tzad, which is a half, which is an Eved Kanani. So now, Oved et Rabo Yom Echad, v'et Atzmo Yom Echad, Divrei Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel in the Mishnah Rishonah says that the Eved will work for himself for 1 day, and he'll work for his owner, I mean the other half of him will work for his owner the other day. Beit Shammai Omrim, Tekantem et Rabo, you took care of his master, meaning that he serves his master the way he did before, which is every other day, but et Atzmo lo Tekantem. When it comes to himself, he did not address the issue. Why? Lisa shivcha eno yachol. He cannot marry a shivcha knanit because of the tzad chorin shibo. Right? The tzad, the full-fledged Jew part of him is not allowed to marry a shivcha knanit because that's an isur of, right, lo tia kdesha b'bnei Yisrael. Now, the other tzad, what about? Lisa bat chorim. He can't marry a Jewess, a full-fledged free Jewess. Why? Because eno yachol, because he has a tzad Avdut Shibo. So Ibatel. So now what are you going to say? That he shouldn't do or shouldn't perform Piriya Virivya. So Alo Lo Nivra Olam Ela Piriya Virivya. That the world was only created for Piriya for procreation. Shinemar Lo Tov Ra'al Shevet Yitzara. That the world was not created to remain desolate. The world was created so that people populate the world. So if you do this, you're going to leave him in violation of this mitzvah. Ella, so what do? Kofin et Rabo Rosino to Ben Chorim. We force the Rebbe, meaning the master, to free him. I mean the one who still owns half, we force him to free him. Because Vim Shtara Chetzi Damav. Of course he doesn't go out free without any compensation. He writes him a IOU for the value of that half that he is now getting freed from that owner. Bechazru Beit Hillel lo rot ki divrei Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel went ahead and they returned to learn like Divrei Beit Shammai. So now, what do you see from here? right? Because of Tikkun Olam, right? We force, right, the a master here to free the other half of the slave. But had it not been, right, for the had it not been for Puriyavya, lo kaifinanle, right, we wouldn't have forced them to do this. Right, so there, we don't have a point, or we don't have the ability for an Eved to come along and say, we don't have this put call option that's offered to the Eved. Here you have a partnership between the Eved himself, between the slave himself, and the master. And this partnership, yes, I'm sure the Eved wants to dissolve such a partnership, right? He doesn't want it to continue in this manner. But the only reason we compel the dissolution of this partnership is because of the mitigating factor called Priya Urivya. Had that factor not been there, we would have left the situation intact, which means we would have left him in a partnership that he doesn't want. And we don't say, like Rabbi Yehuda says, which is gold or a gold. How come we don't say that? How come we don't say, take the put call option? The Eved can say, listen, either you buy me out fully, or, right, take the other way. Where it says, no, Shani Hocha, da gold ika, gold leka. This is, does not have a two-way street over here. Right? I mean, a gold, a good assumes that you can, both parties, right, can equally buy or sell in this situation. That's just not true in this situation. It's only a one-way street, right? The Eved can buy out the master's portion over here, but the other way is not true. The master can't buy out the Eved's portion. Why not? Because he can't recreate him to be an Eved Kanani. You can't change a full-fledged Jew into an Eved Kanani. Even if you are able to purchase him, you will only make him into an Eved Ivri. And when you have an Eved Ivri, you've left him in the same position that he was before, which he's still half a Jew and half a Eved Kanani. So since this put call option doesn't really have two sides to it, we can't demand that there be gold agud. I mean, that you can only demand gold agud where both parties have the ability to act on the offer, right, on the table, which is either you buy or sell, and that's offered to both parties. Here that is not true, and that's why we can't demand of gold agud according to Yehuda in this instance. Alright, so Tosas deals with your question, very good. First of all, it's only according to one mandamar. There is a machloket, we saw this together, the machloket and the gemara kedushin. First of all, there are some that say that you can only marry Shifa Chananit when he was sold by Beis Din, not when he sells himself. Alright, now, there is a mandamar, even when he sells himself, that he's still allowed to marry a Shifa Chananit. But that may not solve his problem, because when it comes... very good. Very good. So, right, the children are miyuchas to the Shifcha. The miyuchas to the Shifcha, they're not his children, and according to many, he's not the Kayim Priya Verivya when he has children through a Shifcha Kananit. So, you have not solved his problem by having him become an Eved Ivri and then marry the Shifcha Kananit. Now, Tosfos deals here, we've discussed this before. Tosfos deals with here, are there actually two different mitzvot or one single mitzvah? Which is that the Gemara here quotes the mitzvah of Lo Tohu V'Rov, the Shevet Yitzhara. But why did the Gemara quote the mitzvah of Piriya or Rivya? The question is, how do you reconcile between the two? Now, Tosfos views them as a single mitzvah. Tosfos says, Piriya Rivya, and Lo Tohu V'Rov, the Shevet Yitzhara, is what? Is all one mitzvah. So why did the Gemara quote this pasuk and not the pasuk of Piriya Rivya? Now, what will this depend on? All right, very good. Excellent. So the question that revolves around here, number one is, does it apply to non-Jews? Does Piriya Rivya apply to non-Jews? So the way you could answer is that you could separate between Piriya Rivya that only applies to Jews and Lo Tov that applies even to non-Jews. You could say that, although Tosfos does not. Tosfos tries to combine the two. Now once you've combined the two, which Joel raises is a good point, which is Lo Tov V'ra the Shevi Yitzhara, right, is maybe that should apply to a Shifcha, Kananit, maybe it should apply to women as well, which is not true when it comes to Piriya Rivya. But Tosfos on the other hand sees them as a single mitzvah, and by seeing them as a single mitzvah, he does not include all these individuals, and he just says, he explains why the Gemara quotes this pasuk over here, and not the pasuk of Piriya Rivya. If you look down at Tosfos, it's Tosfos of Shenemar Lo Tov V'ra, and he says, Ha, Delo Maiti Kra De Pru Revu. Why doesn't the Gemara bring the pasuk Pru Revu? Omer Ri Bar Mordechai Mishum, Delo Shevet Yitzera Shayach Afilu B'Tzad Avdut. So he says, that's because you need for the Tzad Avdut, meaning the Kanani, you need Lo Tov V'ra. B'Chetz Yeshivcha, So this is what you were asking, Shaul says, well, if that's true, that Lo Tov V'ra applies even to an Eved Kanani, then why doesn't it also apply to a Shifcha Kananit? So, Delo Kofu, it's Rabba, the Shachvara. Why, when we have a woman who is half freed and half a shivcha kananit, how come we don't fear her? The whole reason we allow her, we force a master to free her in that case is because she becomes a minha kefker, meaning that people don't treat her properly, she becomes a zona, meaning that because of her status of inability to marry, right, it leaves her in a precarious situation. How come they don't force the rab to free her because of the mitzvah of lo tovra? The shema afiluk sheteseh ba tchorin, because even if she's freed, lo tekayim, she will not be mekayim the mitzvah shelo miftega bepriyorivya, because she is not commanded in priyorivya. When it comes to a woman, she doesn't have the demand of priyorivya. So even if we free her, we're not certain that she will actually end up doing the mitzvah of priyorivya, because then she's not compelled. She doesn't have a mitzvah of priyorivya. On the other hand, the eved, right, once he's freed and becomes a full Jew, he's now demanded of him. He has a mitzvah, a full-fledged mitzvah to do priyorivya. So we'll free him to do that. If you just skip to the line of al eved, shiyeh ben chorin, akorcha chikayim. He will, of course, right, migmekayimit. Viri mefarish. Delakach lo nakat kra de priyorivu. Why doesn't bring peruvu? Mishum the potter who meoto mitzvah kevin shehu anus. That when you're anus, when you're under duress, meaning that it's impossible for you to be mekayim the mitzvah, then you're an anus and you're potur. Ukadei shechayev ba lo kafin rabo la soto ben chorin. And we're not going to force his master to free him to do a mitzvah. Meaning that's not the obligation of the master. Dim kein b'chol avadim. Then it should be true of any avad. Right, the kufra babam the shacharon kadesh lechayiv b'chol mitzvot. Every our master should have to free his eved kanani in order to do all the mitzvot. We never demand that they should free him do any mitzvah. Okay, now once you've done that, now you run yourself into a problem. Right, if you say we don't force him to free him to do the mitzvah, then why are we forcing? Right, what are we talking about over here? So lekach nakah kra lo tovra b'shum shehi mitzvah rabba u'mashum hachi kafina. The pasuk of lo tovra teaches you not like the mitzvah peruvu, but rather it teaches you that it's such a fundamental mitzvah that we right? Tikkun, right, exactly. Tikkun olam, compared to masiv reshit. I mean, it becomes, right, very good. What Tzvi is saying, it's not even a mitzvah, it is the tachlit, right, for the creation. It becomes a part of the purpose of creation, the person. Right, kiyum olam. Very good. So because of that, the Gemara quotes the pasuk of Lo Tohu, because simply a mitzvah, a pruravu, would not be sufficient reason to free him. Because that's not a compelling reason for a master to have to free a slave in order that he can claim any mitzvah. He's patur from the mitzvah because he's an anus. Anus, in general, is patur min mitzvot. And that would be the same application here by an evet. But why does he have to free him? He has to free him because of the factor that is not the mitzvah, the factor which says that it is kiyum olam, that it is the essential or tachlita olam, and because of that he's demanded or compelled to free him in order that he should be lo tov ra the shevet yitzara. So what you see from Tosfos is what? That the real mitzvah, right, is pru revu. Lo tov is not really a separate mitzvah in that sense. It's really focused on the same mitzvah, pru revu, but all it teaches you is that it gives you almost more about what is the standing of the mitzvah pruravu. Right? It teaches you it's a mare makom or megale davar of the mitzvah pruravu, that it's not simply just any other mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that is beyond all mitzvot because it is, right? It's yirat olam. That's what the purpose of creation is. So that's one question that Tosfos deals with. The second question that Tosfos deals with is we have to ask the question of why are you allowed to free an eved kanani? Right, there's an Isur Aseh to free an Eved Kanani. We had that Gemara in right Brachot, right, by Rabbi Lazar, that he freed his slave in order to make the minion over there. And the Gemara says, how can he free his slave? Right, it says Lolam Tavodu Lolam Bahem Tavodu. There's a mitzvah that you must keep them enslaved and not free them. If that's the case, it's an Isur Aseh to free him. So how can you compel his master to free him? I mean, do an Aveira in order that the Eved will be Mekayem a mitzvah. The Tosfos says it from two different perspectives. One is, he says, if you look at the next Tosfos, Kofin Erabo, Vim Tomar, my Kofin, Leite Asei de Pruravu. Pruravu is a mitzvah Sasei, Vidche Lot Asei de Lo Yekadesh. It's an Asei Doche Lot Asei. Why should you have to free him at all? Let him be Mekayim Pruravu and be in violation of the law because it's Asei Lot Asei. So, here's a number of answers. There's a requirement that what? When you're asay docha lo taseh, it is at the same moment you're mekayim the asay, you're docha lo taseh. And here he says that the moment at which a person is mekayim peruvu is later, right, than the isur of lo yekadesh. That's one. Vote. Dehi asura lin asay lo. What about the other side? Meaning from the woman's perspective, she's not permitted to marry the tzad Avdu Chibo because she's not Mikayim any asay, she doesn't have an asay Bruvu, and she's still in violation of the Lota asay to marry this Evid Kanani, because she has no asay, and she does have the Lota asay. And number two is, even if you believe that Mifkada, right, she has an asay. Even if you believe that a woman, like Rabbi Yochanan, believes that a woman has the mitzvah piri rivya, nevertheless, she has efshalah ba'acher. She has other options. Right? When you efshalah ba'acher, we never say, bo asay, take an asay and dochalot asay when you have the possibility of doing it with someone else or doing it some other way. But, kem da'asher l'kayim shneim, aydei kfiya lo dochi. And that's the last thing. If I say lo dochi delcha, it only applies when it's efshar to be mekayim shneim in any other way. It's only when both of them must be violated in order to create the other. Then we say mitzvah. But here you could create a situation. Now, our question, right? Vim tomar, heichan kafina l'shachmaro. How could you let him free him? Why, didn't we say in the Gemara, gittin achol m'shachar abdol verbaseh? V'chi teima mitzvah shayni. So let's say that's what the Gemara is. The machlokas in the Girsa, in the Gemara in Gittin, and the Gemara in Brachos, whether it's mitzvah shiny or mitzvah derabim shiny. Right? What's the conclusion of the Gemara there? But even if you say it's mitzvah shiny, that the reason for a mitzvah you're allowed to free an Eved Kanani. B'chiyam l'arim l'adam chatei, kadei shiizke chavercha. That's true when it's your zchus. We say, go ahead and free him, like Rabbi Elazar did for the minion, because he needed the minion. So he freed him for his own benefit. But over here, you're not freeing him for your benefit, you're freeing him for his benefit. So now you're chote, and he gets all the, right, he gets all the upside. He gets the mitzvah. So it says, if we skip down a couple of lines, Omeri, and this comes back to what Tosafot just said in the previous class, so I'm reading to you, but the mishom mitzvah rabo shori, afagav dover baseh. So Tosus comes back to the same conclusion of about lo tohu, which is lo tohu is an exceptional type of mitzvah. Right? It's not a mitzvah where we simply say, oh, asay dochalot to say. It's not a mitzvah where we just say, right, go ahead, don't free him because you have an isur, a say of lo ba'om ba'hem tavodu. No, we say to him, you got to free him because this is so fundamental to kiyum olam and the mitzvah for a person that we don't allow you. We're willing to have you violate the asay in order that he is mekayim such a mitzvah. So now, what? Right, right. You have to right. I mean, that's going to be equivalent or better than getting dominion or being in a minion because we saw that Rabbi Elazar was permitted to free him from minion, and over here it also says this is even more fundamental a mitzvah than minion, which is there the Gemara has to discuss machlokas avishonim. The minion's only the rabbanon, right? So how could it be that you could free it over an isur d'oraisa? Right? So the Rosh, others say that it was parsha zachar, right? Which is the chiddush of the Rosh that you need a minion for parsha zachar. But anyway, it's machlokas avishonim over there. What the reason is? But here Tosu says that this is such a fundamental mitzvah that you have to free him. So Tosu straddles the fence over here about this lo tohu. He says that it's not mitzvah priri rivya, but on the other hand, it's such a fundamental mitzvah, it's so great that it's even better than priri rivya because priri rivya is just simply a regular mitzvah. Lo tohu is like, right, an all-encompassing purpose of creation type of mitzvah, which again reflects back on priri rivya. But because of that, we're going to compel him to free him, even though he's violating an essay. Tashma, Amar wants to prove again whether you have this mitzvah, this case called god v'lo agod. Tashma, shnei achim, echad ani v'echad ashir, one poor and one rich. V'niach lehem meviyam merchatz u'beit abad. Their father left them a bathhouse or a olive press. Asan l'schar. If they have, the way Rashi reads it is, if they rent them out, meaning that his father rented them out in the past, then he should take it. Tosafos reads that if they have the ability now to rent them out, it has nothing to do with what their father did with them, but if they can rent them, that's fine. Then the skar the emsa, then they just split the proceeds, meaning that they rent it out or they use it, they sell. So then they split the money. It's like Dalia that you suggested before. If you can get money, then it's easy to split or divide money. Asan latzmo, the way Rashi reads asan latzmo is that the father used them for himself, but Tosafos reads it means asan latzmo means that there's no ability to rent them out, meaning that they're used. They're private types of bathhouses and presses. Hari Ashir Omer L'Ani, the rich man says to the Ani, Kachach Abadim Yerchatzu, bring down your servants and take a bath like I do. Right, B'merchatz, Kachach Hazitim, bring your olives. Right, Uvav Asay B'Beit Abad, come and press your olives in the Beit Abad. So Gemara says, why can't you say, according to review, that you should be able to say, God and a God? I mean, the Ani wants out. He gets no benefit from having a bathhouse and an olive press over here. So why does he want to stay in this partnership? So why can't he compel his rich brother to dissolve the partnership. Where it says again, hatamnami, right? Goldika, agod leka. You can't say god agod because it's a unidirectional, right, transaction here. There's only one person who's going to buy it out, and that is the rich brother. The poor brother can't make the offer and say, here's the price, I'm buying you out. He doesn't have the money to buy him out in this instance, right? So now, tashma, kol. Where's the Bach here? Zeklal, right? Very good. Zeklal, kol shilu yechalak ushmo alav cholkin. Right? This is our Mishnah. Anything that if you divide the object's name still remains on the object, then you can compel the parties to dissolve the partnership. Imav malino to b'damim. If not, then what do? We force a monetary solution, right? We assess the value of it and then we split it. So based on that, so what does it sound like? There, it sounds like there is. Right, a monetary solution, which is Rav Yehuda's position, which is we say gold or a gold. We value the item, and then we say buy it or purchase it out. So that'd be against Rav Huna. So Gemara says it's not he.
You see that there's no good or good. What are the solutions? Either you split it. If it's big enough, you split it.
Right.
If you can, if it's not big enough,
what do you do?
You sell it. You don't say good or good. You sell it to a third party.
But either way, that's the same thing. Go to a good.
It doesn't mean
that
you sell it. It means
you
have to
give
it money.
You have to give a value.
But even if he sells it to a third party, that's the equivalent of go to a good. I mean, the compelling the other party to have to sell the object is the equivalent of go to a good.
They don't force to say in the partnership,
right? You can dissolve the partnership, which is the same as go to a good. So where it says, it's machlokas tanaim. Detanya. Tulata shi'ur, right? If you take your position, vani pachot, right? And I'll take less. Shomim lo, we listen to him. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, ain't shomim lo. We don't listen to him. Say chidami. What's the case here? What's the issue? What are they arguing about? So he says, ilay mekeditani, right? If it's like what's written, my time with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Then what's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Here's offering his brother. Look, we don't have a chatzer that's big enough to split. You take your four amot, I'll take whatever's left over. And if he agrees to do such a transaction, why won't we let him do it? I mean, why is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Elav chasuri mechzeret. Obviously, this grace is missing words. Ochi kamar. This is what it means. Tulata shiur. You take your part. Vani pachot. And I say, you know, I'll take my little part. Shomim lo. V'god agod nami shomim lo. Ah. Now they enter in. Now, also, if he offers the put call option, not that he offers to take less, but he says, listen, either you buy it or I buy it, set the price, and let's go forward here. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, we don't listen to him. We don't listen to him. It's on the part of God, a God. So that would be the equivalent to the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, right, over here. It would be the same as the machlokas here of the Tana Kama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whether we allow a person to compel a dissolution of the partnership based on God, a God, the put call option. Someone says, no. No, it's like it's written. If that's the case, what's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? He says, because if you have money, he says, I don't have the money to pay for it right now. So that's equivalent to what we said in the previous cases, which is that there is no ability for good or good. So he says, all right, b'matana lo nechali. He says, oh, what are you going to do? You're going to give it to me? You allow me to take it? I don't want any gifts. Dichtiv, v'sunei matanot yuchia. The one who hates gifts, right, lives a long life. One who does not accept gifts lives a long life. So if that's the case, right, so again, if you have a case here where shnehem rutzim, they both want to dissolve it, that's not a big deal. But here, one party doesn't want to dissolve it. But the party who says he wants to dissolve it doesn't have the monetary means to demand that they sell out of the object. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, in that case, we can't compel him to say, gold or gold, and we don't force him to take it as a gift, or to gift it either way, because soni matanot lo yichyeh. The person who doesn't take gifts is one who lives. Alright, so now, Amalei Abaye, the Rav Yosef, had the Rav Yehuda, that position of Rav Yehuda that we say, gold or gold, right? What, that comes from his Rebbe Shmuel, to Shmuel, he. Right, Rav Yehuda's Rebbe was, Rav Yehuda always is quoted, I'm a Rav Yehuda Marav, and I'm a Rav Yehuda Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda learned by Shmuel. So he says, that which Rav Yehuda says is not his own, but rather from his Rebbe Shmuel. It's not. We have a Mishnah, which is our Mishnah. V'kitvei HaKodesh, afal pi shneihem rotzim, lo yachloku. When it comes to Kitvei HaKodesh, even if both parties want to divide up, we don't allow you to rip it up, because we said before that is bizayon, right? The Kitvei HaKodesh. Right? It's inappropriate to cut up or divide up a Kitvei HaKodesh. V'amar Shmuel. Shmuel qualifies that statement in the Mishnah. Lo shanu ela b'kerach echad. That's only when it is one volume or one. We'll see in a second when Rashi says. But b'shnei krichot chokim. Right? But in two portions or two sections, then it's fine. What is a kerach echad and shnei krichot? Rashi says. Right, look in Rashi, Kerach Echad is Kol Sifreim Asuyim Gilyon. All of their Sifreim were making a Gilyon, meaning like a Sefer Torah, like our Sefer Torah. If you reveal the Beit Din, the Chalko Bizayonu, if he comes to Beit Din to divide it up, that's a Bizayon, Kitvei HaKodesh. Aval B'Shtei Krichot, what Shtei Krichot? Could go in Torah B'Kerach Echad, Nevi'im B'Kerach Echad. Rashi's not saying that it's right, a Chumash in two Krichot. No, two Krichot doesn't mean Breishit Shmot, you can divide them up. It means that Torah versus Nevi'im, right, versus maybe Ketuvim, right, then you can divide it up. I mean, if they're distinct Sfarim that you can take apart, then you're allowed to divide it, because they don't necessarily belong together. The Torah and Nevi'im don't necessarily belong together. When it comes to Breishit Shmot, Vayikra, Midbar, Dvarim, they do belong together, and you shouldn't cut them up, even if they have separate Sfarim. Where it says, V'Yisal Kedatcho, and if you think late dina to go to a good, my area b'krach echad, right? If you think there's no din of good a good, why do you have to say that it's b'krach echad? Afilu b'shnei krichi nami. Even when he has two, where there's an ability to bite up the kitvei kodesh, he shouldn't be able to compel the other party to divide it. The fact that Shmuel says you can compel the other party to divide it up, right, means that there must be a vehicle for forcing division. What's the vehicle for forcing division? Gold and a gold. Now, the underlying assumption of this Gemara is that this is a division that is against the will of one party. Now, if you go back to the Mishnah, you think of the Mishnah, the Mishnah addressed that and says, B'shneim rotzim, if they both want to do it, they can do it. What the prescription that the Mishnah is giving, or the amounts that they're giving, is only when the parties don't agree. And then the Mishnah concludes, but by Kitvei HaKodesh, Afilu, we said Afilu Shnehem Rotzim, they can't divide it up. That's what we added in. The Gemara here says, no, this is talking about a case where they're same as before, which is compelled. So Gemara's answer is going to be, Targama Rav Salman or Shaman B'Shnehem Rotzim. Like when we read the Mishnah, that's exactly, I mean, that's the conclusion of the Gemara, which is that both parties want to divide it. No, you cannot compel. Shmuel's not saying you can compel the other party to divide up a Torah Nevi'im. It's if they both want to divide it, then only when it has a Torah Nevi'im can you divide it up. Not when it's a Breishit Shmot are you allowed to divide it. And that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that you may, even when both parties want it, you may not divide it when it is less than a Torah and Nevi'im. So Amar Meimar, Hilchasa, the halacha is eat dina de god or god. The halacha is that we do have this concept called the put call option, and you may force the party. You'll say, you name the price, I'll decide to buy or sell, or the other way around, I'll name the price and you decide to buy or sell. Right? That's the way, you know, when kids come to divide up, you say one, right, when you cut it in half and he'll choose which side, right, when it's the same concept, which is that you compel both parties to do it as evenly as possible because each party could end up with the other side. Right? So, Amalei Rav Ashi Lameimar, Hadar Rav Nachman, Mai. So, where it says, what is the din of Rav Nachman? Meaning that if you say the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, what do you do with, right, Rav Nachman, who argues on, right, Rav Yehuda? So he says, Amalei lo shmiali. Says, I didn't hear of this concept, or this statement of Rav Nachman, klomar lo severely. He says, I don't hold of this Rav Nachman, we don't worry about that. So, where it says, Vaha, Rabbi Barchinina, Rav Dimi Barchinina. Right, because Rav Nachman bin Dine, Hilchasuk Rav Nachman. So why is he ignoring Rav Nachman here and passing like Rav Yehuda? I assume that's why the Gemara, very good, Shaul, I assume that's why the Gemara is doing that. All right, Rav Bar Chinina, Rav Dimi Bar Chinina, Shavak Luhu Avua Tarte Yamahata. She left them two maidservants, Chadi Yadafio Bishule. One of them was a expert at baking and cooking. V'chadi Yada Pilcha V'Nivla. And one of them knew how to spin and weave. Right, so one of them was, you know, they had different functions over here. But to the kamei de Rava, they came before Rava, and now they have to divide it up. Amar lo, late dina de god agud, and he said to them, listen, there is no dina of god agud. Why not? Meaning that if the loch is like Rabbi Yehuda, then why don't we say god agud over here? Listen, either you buy out or I don't buy out. I say shiny hata. That's not true, because over here it's different. Lamar mi bayle tarvayu, unamar mi bayle tarvayu. So now, when they both need both women or both maidservants, meaning that but they don't function or don't do the same function. It's not like a field or a gina where you say to them, listen, we can divide up the field, and the field on both sides does the exact same function. So then you can say, go da good. Over here, that's not true. Right? You can't say, look, you take one shifcha and I'll take another shifcha, because each shifcha independently does not get you the same thing that the other shifcha gets. Meaning that there's no, it, the two tzadim are not equal over here. If you say, I take one and you take one, that's not goda good. Or even if you say, like, you buy out this side and I'll buy out that side, you're not talking about the same object. It's almost like you're talking about two separate objects over here. You're talking about two separate objects. That's why there's no goda good when it comes to the two parties over here. It's different, right? It's not the case that we've been talking to before. If you look at Rashi, love a goda good who? Each one of them is not sufficient in of itself to each one of them. So because of that, we won't force them to do good or good in this case, because it's not subject, that's not the same case as we've had until this point in time. All right. Now the Gemara continues. Wait a minute. If you want to say there's no din of good or good, right, what about Kitvei HaKodesh? Kitvei HaKodesh, everybody needs a Torah, and everybody needs a Nevi'im. So how could you say, we can allow them to divide it up, to split it, because one take Torah, one will take Nevi'im. So why don't we say that by the maidservants? One will take the Afiyam Bishula, one will take the Pilcha Navlo. So Amar Shmuel, Lo Shon, Wa Lebukra Chechad, Abba Shnei Krichim Chokim. Over there we say that we can compel the other party to divide it up. So we do say good or good when it comes to the fact that there's Torah and Nevi'im, even though the objects are different. Number one, and number two is both, they need both objects. So Hatargama Rav Salman Kishratzu. The case of Shmuel is a different case. That case is where the parties are agreeing to split it. Where they agree to split it, that's not a question. Of course they can divide it up. They're accepting on themselves. Here, you're trying to compel the parties to split. When you're compelling the parties to split, you have to have an object that is both, that each party could survive with one side. They're equal on both sides. And not that they need both of these issues, because it becomes a single object rather than two separate objects which you're trying to divide over here. All right. Tanu Rabbanan, because of this, now the Gemara is going to jump into, right, somewhat guided to halacha with regards to Tanakh, which is what is the din of Tanakh? How do they divide? How does one write them? And because of this din of Shnei Krichim. So Tanu Rabbanan, Madbik Adam Torah Nevi'im Uktuvim Ke'achad Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that one can create what we have today as equivalent of a Sefer Torah, that one is permitted to not only have a Sefer Torah, but also have a Torah Nevi'im Uktuvim, to have a full Tanakh in that form. In that format, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Torah b'fnei atzma, Nevi'im b'fnei atzma, Ketuvim b'fnei atzma. You have to keep them separate. It's not appropriate or proper to put them all together in one sefer. V'chamim armim kol echad echad b'fnei atzma. Each one must be independent, or must be each sefer must be independent. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Ma'ase bebaitus ben zonim. Right, they require that every sefer Nevi'im be an independent sefer, and so also Ketuvim. That has to be on by itself. All right, meaning that as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you can have a full Torah, a full Nevi'im, and a full Ketuvim, they say even when it comes to Nevi'im, you have to have Yishayahu separate from Yechezkel, separate from Yirmiyahu. Right, you have to have each sefer has to be an independent sefer. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Masa bebaitus ben zonim.
I'm sorry. So we obviously hold like the Tanakama.
Why is that?
We allow it.
Like,
no, but those are printed Tanakhs. Those aren't Gilyon Tanakhs.
Well,
we'll see why. There's a reason. There's a problem with having a Gilyon Tanakh. We'll see what the problem is. Alright. That he had 8 Nevi'im put together in a single right roll, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, 8 Nevi'im are all the Nevi'im. That's everything, right? Because you have Yoshua, Shuftim. Right? Then you have Shmuel, Melachim. Right? Then you have Yirmiyahu, Yishayahu, Yechezkel, and Treyasar. Okay, Treyasar is all one book. So that gives you 8 Nevi'im. So he had all of Navi together in one Gilyon on Pirah, Belezer, and Azariah. And there's those that say no, that he didn't have them all together, but he had them, right, each one independent. Right, so now, Amar Rebbe, Ma'ase v'yivir lefanenu Torah, Nevi'im uktuvim, medubikim le'echad, v'yichsharnu. Rabbi says they brought for us a whole roll that had everything in it, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, and we said it was mutar. So if you look in Tosfos, the two quick Tosfos that's worth looking at, there's Madbik Adam, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, Ke'echad. She says, Afalpi, she'efshar shelo yiten Nevi'im, Ketuvim, al gabei Torah. Because of this, you're going to have Nevi'im and Torah, the Nevi'im and Ketuvim being on top of the Torah. And Megillah, we paskind, right, that you're not allowed to put a Navi or a Ketuvim on top of a Torah. So what's going to happen here? If you start with the Torah, and then you have Nevi'im and Ketuvim, when you roll the Torah will be on the inside, and then on top of that will be a Navi, and as you keep rolling, the Ketuvim will be on the outside. So maybe you can't do it because of that violation. So it says, "Hani mila b'shtei krichot." That's only when it's two. That's a divisible krichot. About she'im u'dubakim yachad ain't a gnai. Then it's not a gnai. I mean, it's not inappropriate to put a navi and a ktuvim on top of the ktuvim. That's one. Now, Rav Yehuda Meir Torah b'fnetzba. Now, no, lo b'pnei she'asur laniach zeh al gabi zeh. Again, it's not because it's impermissible to place one on top of the other, right? The lo yashkan she'asur laniach al nevi'im ktuvim al gabi Torah. That's only true. Aval nevi'im al gabi ktuvim o ipcha lo. Elahayne taima shelo yireh hakol kamo Torah o hakol nevi'im. So people don't make a mistake and think that this is all part of the Torah or this is all part of the nevi'im. Ke'echad am yechomim b'atar achid bo she'ek kol nevi'im nevi'im b'fnei atzmo. That has to be that their demand here that it be a separate sefer is that a person should not become or come to the position that this is something, this is all part of Torah, this is all given at Sinai, or this is all part of this Navi, or this part of that Navi. We want to have clear differentiation or distinctions between each of the books. Now, in a Gilyon, it's very hard to do that. As opposed to in a printed edition today, when you have a printed edition, you can have a big thing that says, you know, Sefer Yechezkel, this, that. I mean, it doesn't all look the same all the way through. You know, when you have a Gilyon, like a Sefer Torah, you don't know where things change or whether it's what's called here, what's called there. You can't make any distinction inside of a Gilyon. As opposed to a printed Sefer where you can make clear distinctions, you have cover pages, you can do things that make clear distinctions between them. All right, now. We're going to see it. The Gemara, this Gemara is coming up of who wrote what. But yes, it doesn't seem to be by Ketuvim that you have to divide it. I mean, he only makes that demand by Nevi'im and by Torah and Nevi'im. By Ketuvim, which Ezra would be a part of, is not. There's no demand of, for some reason, there's no demand of division there. It's interesting. I don't know why. All right, now, Gemara says, Ben Chumash to Chumash Shel Torah Arba'a Shitim. Right now, between each Sefer in the Torah, one has to leave four lines. I mean, you have to leave four lines blank inside of the Sefer Torah. In order to, right, we have a Sefer here. So you have to leave four lines blank and start the new Sefer. Uvechein bein kol Navi leNavi. Also, between each Navi, you must leave four blank lines before you write the next Navi. Uvenavi shel Shneimasar, when it comes to the Navi of Shneimasar, then you only need Gimel Shitim. You only need three lines between each one. Yeah, I assume so. It means within this Shreyasar, because otherwise it's one Sefer, and then you need four between the others. U'msayim milamata u'matchil milamala. This is a controversial statement here, about or how to explain it is not clear, that you finish at the bottom, and then you start at the top. Right? That what the question is, what is that continuation of, or what is that telling us? So that happens to me. Rashi, right, says over here, if you look in Rashi, it says, imniz damein lo, siyuma sefer milamata. If for some reason you lucked out and the Sefer ended at the bottom of a column, right? So now, what's the story? When you go up, this demand to have four blank rows is only when you're continuing on the same column. That's how you create the division. But if there's a natural division, which is that you ended at the bottom of this daf and you have to start at the top of the next daf, then don't worry about it. Right, then you don't have to worry about creating these extra four shitim over there. That's the way Rashi learns it over here. We have the Rabbeinu Gershom and Tosos learn differently. Right, Tosos says it's not true. He says that Tosos actually brings two opinions. We'll only learn the Ri's opinion. If you look, Maseim Lamat Matchilim Ala Pesh Bekunchi Shem Tzarech Laniach Dela Shitim and near the Ri, there in Chumash Chunash Shel Torah Tzarech Laniach. That between a Chumash and Torah, it doesn't matter if you end at the bottom, you still need to leave four blank at the top. By Nevi'im, dafko kamar dein tzarich. That's only by Nevi'im you don't need. If you end at the bottom, you can start at the top without adding four lines. Can you before each time of the command? Because of the Gemara coming up, which we're going to see in a second, which is that you're allowed to divide up a Navi. You're allowed to take apart Navi, safer by safer. If they're together, you're allowed to divide them. By Chumash, that's not true. So by Navi, when you divide them, if you put four lines at the top of the new safer, when you end at the bottom, when he divides up the safer, it's going to look strange. You're going to have to first column of that Navi have four lines before it. It makes no sense. As a Chumash, since you're never going to divide it, it always makes sense that the four lines are left blank. That's the way the Ri learns over here. The Ritzba actually learns the exact opposite of him. All right, I won't read the Ritzba. And the Rabbeinu Gershom has another sefer. He says at the bottom, it's the last line in the Rabbeinu Gershom, and Daf Yud Gimel, says, Meseim elamata klomer sheyagir l'siyum sifro misamei elamata mi'oto daf u'matchil ha-sefer acher melamala mi'daf achad afal pi sheyim b'siyum oto sefer. Right, so even though there's not enough to finish off that whole daf, he can leave it daf panui milamato matchil ba'acher lamala. So that you have the right. This is what he's saying is just almost the exact opposite, which is that if you get to the end of a column and there is more than four shittim, right, over there, and you could do four shittim and then start the other one, you're permitted not to do four shittim and set the next sefer, but to leave the entirety blank and start at the top of the next column. So now again, you'd have to understand whether that is, right, whether that's only by Chumash or Navi or both. But the Rabbeinu Gershom says that the Milmalamata means that you're allowed to stop at the end of a column and just finish off blank on that column and start the top of the next column. So we just gave you three different opinions about what this line in the Gemara means. Alright, let's just finish off here. Tanu Rabbanan, what says the Daveik Torah Nevi'im Uktavim Ke'echad? One who wants to put Torah Nevi'im together, Medabeik Voseh, Berosho, Kedei Agulamud, he should do that, go ahead. And then he puts the rolling, right, Amud, the eight Chaim that we call at the top, he puts it at the beginning. So you have to put a blank page at the beginning, a blank klaf in the beginning, and a blank klaf at the end. Blank klaf in the beginning so that when the roller rolls, it rolls the first roll on a blank klaf. That's what we do at Sefer Torah, right? We leave something blank, we have room in the beginning so that the Eitz Chaim can roll on that. And then you have one at the end because they didn't have a second Eitz Chaim. That last piece was the cover for everything that was found inside. Right, umisayim ilamato matchil nalala. Right, the same line that we had before. Vimbalach toch chotech, and if he wants to cut it, he can cut it. So Gemara says, my kamar. What does this mean? What do you mean, umbalach toch chotech? Right, meaning that if you say that everyone can come by itself, and it's better to put them to self, because the Mishnah says if you want to put them together and stick them together, you can. But that tells you that the chatchila you can have them separate. So of course, why do you have to come and tell me balach toch chotech that you can separate them? Of course, you can separate them. So my kamar, achi kamar, shim balach toch chotech. Right, that if he wants to, right, if he wants to chotech, he can. Why? Because he's done it. Misayim lamato matchil melamala. Right. So what's the reason that you can divide them? Because of the way you write it. So that's because if you go ahead and machil lamala, therefore when you cut the sfarim and you divide them up, it won't be a gnai that it's the sefer has like four blank spots at the beginning. So the reason that you can stop at the bottom of a page and start immediately at the top of the next page is because if you come to cut them, it will look nice and it will look fine. So that's where the Ri gets his shita from. He says it's only true by a Navi. That's not true by a Chumash. So therefore, we only allow you to do that by a Navi and not by a Chumash, because you cannot divide up a Sefer Torah. You only allow to divide up Sefer Nevi'im, you don't divide up a Sefer Torah. Tosfos asks one question, he says, wait a minute, we just saw before in the Gemara by Shmuel, Shmuel says you're allowed to, what? You're allowed to, when it comes to two Krachim, you're allowed to divide them up. What's two Krachim according to Rashi? Two Krachim was a Torah and Nevi'im. He doesn't say, right, divide up a Torah, divide up Nevi'im. He just says two Krachim, it's Torah and Nevi'im as a whole. So how come before we say it's a Gnai to divide up the Nevi'im, and over here we're saying no problem, make sure you end at the bottom and you're allowed to start all the way at the top because you're allowed to divide up the Nevi'im. So why don't we say that before? Why can't Shmuel say that if you have one big Navi, they can divide up the Nevi'im? Over here we're permitting you to divide the Nevi'im, over there we're not permitting you to divide the Nevi'im. Tosu says it's the context is different. It depends who or why you're doing it. If it's because of dissolution of a partnership, you're dividing up a whole Navi, that's a Gnai the Navi. Or you're ripping it up because you have to split it between partners, that's inappropriate. If you come to split the Navi because you want each Sefer Navi to be separate, that's a compelling reason, that's a good reason to divide up the Navi. There it's not a Gnai for the Navi to be divided. So he says that's the difference, why we didn't make that suggestion before of dividing up Nevi'im, only Torah whole, Nevi'im whole. Over here you're allowed to divide it up because you have a reason that makes sense to divide it up. Alright, we'll stop over here.